Hi there. Welcome back to She Speaks Life. I am thrilled that you are here listening to this episode. I want to extend an invitation to you to check out my published journal called Serenity, Calm Your Soul and Strengthen Your Spirit for Your Time with the Lord. This personalized scripture journal allows you to write your name within the verse, providing you with a personal directive to take heed of the truth in your life. This journal contains 5 topics to choose from, with 2 weeks of scripture for each one to help you through whatever season you are currently walking in, such as contentment, confidence, loneliness, hope, and peace. Additionally, the journal includes journal prompts and an activation prayer to release your faith in what you are relying on God to do in and through your life. To purchase, simply click the link in the show notes below, and it will take you to jamieelizabeth.com, and you can order on my shop page. And while you're there, take the fun quiz to find out what type of journaler you are, or if you don't journal at all, learn about the benefits of journaling. And if you take the quiz, you will receive a discount from me plus free shipping, because who doesn't love a discount and free shipping? Okay, today I have with me Cynthia Yanoff. She is an author of Life is Messy, God is Good, Sanity for the Chaos of Everyday Life. We talk about reframing the challenges in life to see God at work and how to take life less serious and laugh in our messes, knowing God is in the middle of it all. Cynthia shares her experiences she's encountered and how having a perspective that God has a plan for all gives us the wisdom to embrace life and act on the calling that God has for us with confidence, even though we may not be on the other side of the chaos yet. She is a podcaster for Mesmerized and works with ChristianParenting.com and has such great wisdom and understanding of what we encounter each day. I know you'll enjoy this conversation, so let's get to it. Here's my guest, Cynthia Yanoff. Hey, Cynthia, welcome to She Speaks Life. I'm thrilled you are here to share with us about the messes in life.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I love your book. The title is called Life is Messy, God is Good, Sanity for the Chaos of Everyday Life. And you are known to bring the sense of humor into our messes and just not get so wrapped up in the intensity of it all. And we all need somebody like you in our lives to lighten us up and bring that happiness and that joy. So before we move on to your message that you're going to share with us, I would love for you to give us, what is your favorite scripture verse? There's so much we can find out about our guests just by asking that simple question. What Yes. is your favorite scripture verse?
Yes. I'm so glad you asked that. What a great question to ask people, because you're right. You learned so much. And okay, I'm going to give you my favorite right now. I mean, okay. Obviously we all have lots of favorites, but right now yeah. This is the one that's kind of been sticking with me. It's in Genesis 22:3. And you know, Abraham and Isaac, and God tells Abraham to take Isaac up and sacrifice him. And he says this, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, and I will show you. And then we're hitting my favorite verse right here. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. And I think I love that verse so much right now, because it's early the next morning, he got up and he looked like he went and did the thing.
Yeah.
And in a world where, especially, I'm not going to speak for everyone else, but especially me, like when I think I hear God say something, I'm kind of feeling, I'm like, I better pray about it. I better talk to my 3 best friends. Maybe I need some sort of spiritual advisor. I don't know. Like I go through 7,000 exercises. And then I look at this and I'm like, no, early the next morning, he got up and he went and did what God called him to do. Yeah. And I just want that to be the story that that's my life, and that for my family and for all of us, that like, whatever that is, I mean, obviously Abraham was asked to do the impossible. Whatever that is that we're willing to just lean into it and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to get up and go do it. And so that's my favorite verse at the moment.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Cause it's whatever season you're walking in, and I've been in that season too, where it's like you're wanting this huge sign, you know, but I go back to delay is disobedience, you know, we're just pushing it off and we're just, you know, procrastinating. We're not obeying, right? He's telling us, go do it. And if we feel like that is what he says to do, then we need to do it. And so often fear will get in its way and stop us in our tracks. But we can fight through that. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. That comes from the enemy. So he's given us power, love, and sound mind. And that's a verse I love because I'm constantly going, okay, sound mind is a disciplined mind. Mm. And, you know, that's hard, you know, to really like tune in and go, okay, like I have authority over my thoughts, you know, submit them to God's word. Take them captive. And we're constantly having to do that and train our thought life. So good. Okay. You bring us to reframe the challenges in our lives so we can see God at work, and that you say God's bigger plan for our lives includes those messiest parts, and how we can walk through those messiest parts because it matters to God. So often you say in your book, when did it all become so serious? That's kind of your quote, right? So why are you so passionate about seeing life through the lens of humor, especially, you know, the ups and downs of everyday life, but especially the downs? Like, how can we look at that and just get some humor in there like you teach?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's one of those like either laugh or you'll cry is where I kind of landed on it. But my mom used to say, and I think this is some of the best parenting advice I've ever gotten. She would say, if you're going to laugh about it in a year or two, then you should laugh about it now. Like not in front of my kids. Like obviously I'm still disciplinarian and all the things, but if you are going to laugh about it, like why not laugh about it now? And I think especially as a girl who grew up in church as a believer, like in my mind, it kind of got segregated that there's like the God things that are spiritual and they are kind of curated and they look a certain way. And they're, you know, the big moments, like when they are the big moments, you know, the spiritual highs, got married, I've had, you know, maybe when I had a child or different things, but then there's everything else that got kind of messy and kind of gross and kind of unplanned and off script. Mm-hmm. And it's in that, like, I've got to believe that God is in that mess because that's 98% of what happens in life. The other 2%, that's great. But 98% of life gets off script. And so, listen, if God's not in that, then we're in trouble. So for me, it came this point of realizing, like, I want a theology that lines up with my reality. And I want what I believe with all my heart on Sunday morning to still apply on Tuesday afternoon. And so how do those two intersect? And I've just found that we've got to embrace the mess and we've got to look at it. And we have this choice. Like we can either be like, well, this stinks. This all went south, whatever. And sometimes we feel that way. Or we can kind of laugh and be like, okay, I know the truth of God is that he uses all things for our good and his glory. And if that's the truth, then I got to lighten up a little bit and trust that he's using this.
Yeah, that's so good. And whether those messes are something we did or a lot of messes are out of our control. And so we just need to know God is in the details. He's going to bring us through that mess. And, you know, why not have a little happiness through that all? That whole time. Okay. In your book, one of your focuses is that God is in the middle of the messiest parts of our lives. How can we know, like you were saying, that God is in the middle of our mess? How do we can actually believe that and know that, like you were stating before that?
Yeah, I think half the battle's perspective. I think we've got to have a long memory of where God's been present. And the thing is we know, biblically speaking, that we are favored. We are God's favored. And the problem becomes is that God's favor doesn't always feel favorable, if you know what I mean. Like I enjoy favor when it's like a job opportunity and maybe a little more platform and my kids are making decent decisions. Like I enjoy that favor. I don't so much enjoy the favor where I'm asked to walk through hard places and I have to stand alone in some situations. Like I don't really enjoy that favor as much, but I found that that's the thing about when God's calling us into places, when he's doing things in our lives, we can trust he's in the middle of it. Not because it feels favorable, not because it feels like it was the next easy step, but because he's present and he's good. And sometimes we see it in the moment. Most of the time we don't. Right. We look back and say, ah, now I get it. And so my encouragement is we need to stop now and be looking back at those places where God's been in the middle of it, where we can see it and borrow from that faith to wherever you are now. And so, you know, I love looking at people in the Old Testament because, listen, we get the benefit of seeing their entire life. Like, right. I love the notion that Abraham's told, you're going to have a father of many nations, but they can't have kids, right? Like, they're infertile, basically. So it's like, pick up, move everything. You're going to be a father of nations. Well, that made no sense in the moment. Like, it almost seemed cruel. But now I get to look at it and say, oh no, I get it. Like, this is the whole lineage. Like, I get what the Lord was doing because I see the full picture. And I would just encourage us in that we've got to realize we're not seeing the full picture. We have this limited perspective. Borrow back from biblical characters, people in your life that you've watched and you can now see what God was doing. Look at your own life. Look back and be like, okay, he was faithful in the past. He will do it again. That's who he is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so it matters.
That's right.
He's there. It just doesn't always feel favorable in the moment.
Yeah. And so many of those stories that you read about, he's doing things that aren't logical. I mean, Gideon's my favorite story, and how, you know, Gideon's like fighting back fear of only fighting a war with 300 men, you know, and the Lord keeps reducing his army. And it's just so backward thinking. And so often he will do that. And I like what you said, like, it's easy to get, you know, rejoice in those favors that, you know, we want. But what about those ones that take a detour? We get disappointed. We thought it was going to go this way, and instead it's going the other opposite way. And so those are the times I know I, you know, walked through a season like that not too long ago. And at the end of it all, on the other side, I was like, Lord, I just want to be that person that if I get disappointed, that I know it's the best for you. I want to be able to say that, like, and believe that that rejection, that betrayal, that disappointment, that he's got my best in mind, instead of being that, you know, why didn't it happen this way, you know, and getting cranky about it, sad about it. And, you know, yeah, like, feel your feelings, your emotions, walk through them. But at the same time, you know that our God, he reigns over all. And to know, like, my knee-jerk reaction, I want to be like, God protected me. God's got his best in mind, and that I shouldn't be disappointed or sad, because that's just not the best plan for me, knowing that God is in control.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes haven't you seen it? I've seen it in my kids' lives. I've seen it in my own, that what feels like punishment is protection, right?
Right.
And it's not just a cool colloquialism. Like, truly, there's been times where I'm like, well, this stinks. Like, this feels like punishment. Where did I get it wrong? And I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, like, that was actually protection. And so I think, if I can add one more thing to that, I just think we need to be really careful, because it's so easy with the messy parts of life when it goes off script to want to just like brush that under the rug, to act like it's not significant. We're not looking for God in it. And we wait until things get cleaned up. Like, we're in this constant stage of waiting. Like, how many of us have waited, myself included? I've waited for maybe my husband, and I have a different job, or I'll have a little more time, or my kids are a little bit older, or our finances look different, or whatever your thing is. And I think of this dear friend I have that passed away suddenly 2 years ago today, actually. And just a precious friend of mine just suddenly died of an aneurysm. But at her funeral, her husband said something that's always stuck with me. And she was a lawyer. I used to be a lawyer too, years ago, and we practiced law together. And she quit a couple of years before she died to be more present and be at home with her kids. And the partners at her law firm kept saying, I mean, you have such a promising future. Don't quit. You have a promising future. And her husband said in her eulogy how she gave up her promising future to live in her cherished present. And that's what, like, I think that's kind of like a motto I like to live by. Like, we can't wait for the promising future. Like, we need to live in the cherished present. Today's the day we've been given. And it may not be an easy day, but it's the day. And so let's live in it. Let's stop waiting for the mess to be cleaned up. Let's stop waiting for the circumstances to look different, for God's, what he's revealing in our lives to make more sense. Like, no, like, we don't have that kind of time. Life is brief. It's a vapor, Solomon says. And so today is your opportunity to live in that cherished present and do the things you're called to do. Live for the Lord today. Be strong in whatever that is, because he's good. So
Yeah. The best time is now. God's calling you to it. It's now. Okay. How many kids do you have?
Okay. So I only have three, but what makes it interesting, I say only, it feels like 12 on any given day. If you have kids, you can appreciate that, everyone. But yeah. I think what makes my story interesting is I have a junior in college. I have a junior in high school and I have a first grader. So
yes.
Everyone have a moment of silence for that. Yes. No, like God never intended anyone to like be a room mom and do menopause. Okay. Like life got really unfair. We adopted our youngest out of foster care several years ago. Aww. And so that's kind of the joke in our house. I'm like, I always tell people like whatever happened this morning in your world, me too. I'm sure it happened to me too. Cause I have kids of all ages. So yeah, that's where we are in life.
They span. Okay. How did foster care change the dynamic of the family? You share your experience.
It's interesting. And whenever I talk about foster care, I always think, okay, like, I don't want everyone to tune out. If you're not called into foster care, like, I get it. Like, I don't believe every single person is. I do think we all have a role to play in that. But I do think this is a bigger picture of doing the things that God calls you to. And so for us, it was one of those things people say, well, how did you know? Like, how do you know what God wants you to do? And I'm kind of like, how do you not know? He made it so obvious. Like, we're not the kind that we're like willingly like, hey, I really want to be in foster care. Like, I don't know many people that think that's an easy road to walk into.
Right,
but it was like all of a sudden, like every mailer I got, every sermon I heard, every podcast, I'm like, we get it, Lord. And so
it's not leaving me. Yeah.
Right. I literally said to my husband, like when we started doing the paperwork, I'm like, I just don't think I'm gonna be able to do all the forms. Like, this is just too much work. And my husband's like, well, that's awkward because you were a lawyer. So I feel like you can do forms. I'm like, okay, good point. I am very good at forms. I forgot. But we went into it like dragging our feet. And I think that can be any of us, whatever we're called to.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't go in with the like absolute spiritual yes. We came in with a reluctant yes. And I always just say, we were scared going into that when the Lord called us into a hard place. Like we were the only people we knew that were doing foster care. This was a standalone moment for us and people we loved were concerned about it for us, people that love us well. So we went in scared what it was going to do to us spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever you can think of. I was scared of it for us. And what it would do to our bio kids. And we came out of it scared of who we'd be if we hadn't done it. And I say that you're changed people when you walk the roads that God has for you. For That's us, right. It was foster care. For someone else, it's making a casserole going across the street or it's mission trips or whatever the Lord's calling you into. You are changed people when you follow the trajectory that the Lord has for you. And I'm just so grateful that he chose us. Yes, we adopt a little boy. And I mean, he's unbelievable. I'm so grateful that we get this opportunity. But more than that, like, yes, we got the kid. That's great.
Yeah.
But we really got God. Like, we got a version of the Lord that we hadn't had before. Mm-hmm. And so it's always my, you know, my challenge when I talk to people, I'm like, listen, it was foster care for us, but we all have a calling that's hard. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has some place for us that he wants us to walk. And I would just say, like, give your reluctant yes. That's what we did. A reluctant yes. And he changes everything. And it's my kids now. I mean, so all the places, the parts of town that I wanted to keep them out of, the stories I didn't want them to hear or see, like we walked straight into it all. And they're different kids because of it. And I'm just so grateful.
So good. I love that. Just step into your reluctant yes, for sure. Okay, let's talk about some of the lies that you personally battle, like facing those, I guess, God-sized dreams. We can, you know, get those lies that come at us. And so what are some of the lies that you struggled with and how did you align them with the truth?
Yeah, I think there's several lies. I like to look back over my life and just, well, I mean, I don't like to, let's be honest. Nobody wants to look and see what the lies are you're believing, but I have taken time where I feel like I've had to start lining up my views with God's truth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very healthy thing for us to do. And I tell the story sometimes of a friend of mine that was at a pool party that she planned and for a bunch of new people coming to our school. And then she had invited some people that already go to the school. Everybody was going to get together and kind of mix and mingle. Well, she was in her bathing suit kind of helping the kids. And when she, about halfway through the party, someone said to her, hey, the bottom half of your bathing suit's see-through. What's going on? She's like, nah, it's just Old Navy product. It's fine. She just laughed it off. Well, she goes to the bathroom to change at the end of the pool party, having been around all these new families she had never met, as well as her existing friends, and realized that morning, hello, she had put on the top half of her tankini, but not the bottom. She had been walking around in her nude color granny panties the entire pool party. And I always tell the story because it's like a metaphor, you guys, of life. Like there are things we are showing parts of ourselves we never knew we had, much less planned on parading about town. Yeah. And that's just what happens. Like sometimes we can see it, sometimes we can't. And I think there's lies that we believe that are impacting how we live our days, what we react to, all these things. And my encouragement is like to sit down and be like, just ask the Lord, like, what do I need to line up with your truth? Mm-hmm. Ask your spouse, ask your friends, what are you watching how I'm reacting things? Are you seeing what I'm freaking out about? Like, what do I need to see that maybe I'm not seeing? Mm-hmm. And so for me, there's been three lies. We don't have to hit them all, but the three that I think that have most impacted me the last many years is one, that we're defined by the success and failures of our kids. I think that's a lie I've had to fight a lot over the years. The second one is that ordinary is not enough. And then the last lie that I think has been one that I've really had to work on is that everyone has to love and accept me. And I'll hit that one. Maybe that's one that most people can relate to, but just this idea that everyone has to love and accept me. I just think we've got to realize in the culture we live in that is so divided, like racially, economically, socially, every level you can think of, we're divided. To think that everybody's going to agree with us and be on the same page with us, it just doesn't happen. And yeah, biblically, we're going to try to live in harmony with all people. Of course, absolutely. But what concerns me in my own life and I watch around me is that we start valuing quantity over quality. And we start thinking we need everyone on our team. Everyone's got to be our friend. Everyone's got to be like, yes, you're doing the right thing. Yeah. Right. And you kind of become a chameleon. I had this girl say one time in my earshot that the only reason I got in the college I got in was because my parents knew somebody. Well, I mean, let's stop there, everyone. I went to Baylor. I love Baylor, but it wasn't like it was Harvard, okay? Yeah. But we, it stuck with me. And so when I went to college, like I was like, well, I'll show Karen. That's not her name. But I'll show Karen. I'll get a 4.0. And then I went to, I'm like, well, I'll show Karen. I'll go to law school. So I got a 4.0. And then I went to law school. And I was like, well, I'll show Karen. I'm going to get a job in a top Dallas law firm. And I did. And at some point you wake up and you're like, I'm proving a point to someone who hasn't thought about me since I was 17.
Right. Like,
we cannot be all things to all people. And so I would encourage us, if that's a lie that you're fighting, I mean, we're all like one time on Instagram, seeing a girl's trip away from realizing, thinking everybody hates us. I would just say, lean in to the three or four people the Lord has put around you. In the Bible's a story of the paralytic and his buddies took him, you know, on his mat to Jesus and they couldn't get in. And so they went up to the roof and cut a hole and lowered him in because they knew that's the only way that he would be healed. And I say, like, those are the people you need, friends. Like, we need the three or four crazy friends that are going to show up. And they're going to believe in our marriage when we don't believe in it. And they're going to chase after our dreams when we want to give up. And they're going to believe in our kids when our kids are doing ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Those are the three or four friends you need. Yeah. And everyone else, like, don't worry about it. That those aren't your people in this season. They may never be your people. Yeah. And so I think that's something I've had to work on. I've wanted for so long everyone to value, accept, approve of what I'm doing or me. And I've realized like, that's just not the reality. So find the three or four people the Lord has for you that will draw you to him and lean into those relationships.
So good. I love that. Yeah. God is revealing more and more of those friends to me, which is great because, you know, you ask for those things and God will give them to you, you know, and if ask those specific friends that you need in your life, that's such good encouragement. And couldn't help but think about Jesus and how there was people that rejected him and didn't like him. I mean, we're talking about Jesus of all people, right? And so that gives me relief if I start to feel that way, because I think all of us will have that thought or will walk in that season where you're just like, why doesn't anyone love me? Why doesn't anybody like me? And we can't be that for everyone. Even Jesus wasn't like that for everyone, right? There were people that loved him, believed in him, and then persecuted him and, you know, didn't want anything to do with them. So
yeah, it's a good word. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So do you talk about church hurt in your book? Because you had a quote that says there may be a million reasons to walk away from church, but Jesus is the one reason to stay. So I know we're kind of shifting gears here to talk about church hurt, but I think this is becoming more and more of a common thing. And I wanted to touch on it for a little bit, for a minute here, of like, how do we reframe our, you know, thinking on that to where, you know, we love the church again after being hurt? Is this an experience that you went through?
Absolutely. And I'm a girl who grew up in church. Like, I always joke, I was born in a church, probably been there my whole life. My parents have been on church staff, all the things.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the hardest thing about church hurt is it's being hurt by people that share your life and your mission and your purpose with you. Right. And so I think it's like this painful blow of people that you think like they're on my side. And I would just say this, I think we've got to be really careful and realize that church people, I love the church, but they're not God. Only God is God. And so we can't allow a person who seems to have the loudest voice in the room to somehow take the place of the only one that matters. And so if God created this institution that's for the broken and the misguided and all these, you know, people that are just like me, like, there's going to be some hurt in there. And, and that doesn't mean that we need to stop being so sensitive. Sometimes we do. And it doesn't mean there's not real hurt in there. But I think we've just got to be careful that we keep it all aligned, that only God is God, and everyone else underneath, we're all coming broken and wretched and all the things that we know that we are. And we're coming together trying to know him better. And as I'm watching the decline in church and membership and people that are a part of the church, I mean, I just think we realize that, like, listen, like, when we withdraw, the enemy wins. Like, that's what he wants, is us to withdraw from the church. And so, like, we need to get in there and dig in there. And we need to, are there times where we need to switch churches? Absolutely. Are there places where we need to call out some things that have not been done well or right? Absolutely. Are there some places we need to be quiet and just sit our hands? Yeah. I think I talk about this in my book, Life is Messy, God is Good. I talk about how, you know, if you were invited to go to the White House, irrespective of who the president is, not making a political stance, but if you were allowed to go to the White House and just tour the White House and see, like, our national defense plans and how everything works, and just have an insider look at all the things of our country, like, you're so excited to go, but you get to the gatehouse and you don't like the music that they're playing at the guard, you know, the guards playing. Are you going to not go into the White House because you're mad about what happened at the guards? Like, that wouldn't make no sense. And that's kind of a silly illustration for, like, listen, we have the church that was created by the author and creator of all things. And, and it's been named good. And it's a place where we all come together broken and messed up. And we have this opportunity to see the bigger picture and grow into the bigger picture of God. Don't stay away because someone did it wrong. Don't stay away because you don't like the music, metaphorically or literally. There's that's, you know, there's a thousand reasons to be turned off and to walk away. But really, I mean, truly, Jesus is the one to stay. So I just encourage us, dig in, dig in.
That's good. And I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, if you need to switch churches, you know, do that, but stay in the church. I mean, God did not call us to not go to church. You know, we need the body of Christ. That is the church. And so, you know, I love that you hit all of those points. And, you know, I personally went through that and I just waited until God told me what to do. And that's another important thing, is you want to move when God says to move, and you want to be released by God, not released because of your emotions, your feeling, your hurts. You want to be released because God told you to either stay or move, but move to a different church. You know, don't just go, oh, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm not going to church at all. So, yeah, really good for this encouragement. Okay, at the end of your book, you give us a challenge to keep the end game in mind. With the end in mind, you say. Expand on that, keeping the end in mind, because I think that sounds really encouraging.
Well, yeah, I think that it's so easy to not have, I know it's so easy to not have perspective. Like, I'm literally at any given moment, I'm caught up in the thousands of things that have to happen. And yes, does laundry have to be done and dishes done and work completed? Absolutely. But we've got to have this bigger perspective. We've got to have an eternal perspective. And I think that comes, I know that comes from spending time with the Lord. Like you, like you just said a minute ago with church, like, you just have to wait and listen and see what he has. I have this friend, and I hope this visual sticks with people. And I think this would probably be my challenge too, but I have this friend who she has a five and a 3 year old. And one day she felt like the Lord just laid on her heart to teach him how to dial 911. And she's like, what? Like, you know how it is with little kids. Like, mm-hmm. you kind of want them to know how to do it, yet you also don't want to come out of the shower and you have a room full of paramedics because they don't know what to do with that information. And so can you trust them? But she just knew she should teach him, knew she should teach him. And so she tried to go about her day, but nothing. Like, she was like, I have to go teach him 911. So she went and got a whiteboard out of the game room and sat down with them and showed him, you know, wrote 911 on the little whiteboard, showed mm-hmm. him how to dial her phone, talked about how to answer the questions and that you can open the door, let a stranger in. And so she finished it and she was kind of like, looked at them and they were kind of like, okay. And she was like, I know that got weird, and went on with her day. Well, a couple hours later, she has, for the first time ever in her life, she had a massive seizure. And so her 5-year-old grabbed her 3-year-old and ran down and got that whiteboard and brought it back and found her mom's phone and did everything that her mom had just taught her.
Wow.
And I say this because, listen, I feel like we're all writing a story with our lives. Like, mm-hmm. whether we want to or not, we're writing a story. And it shows up mm-hmm. to all those around us. It shows up to our family, our kids, mm-hmm. our neighbors, our culture. And so we're writing this story. And we want to write a story that's God's story. And yeah. I feel like this is our opportunity in the mornings to get up and spend time with him and say, like, listen, here's my metaphorical whiteboard. What is the information you're wanting to write on it? What is the story you want to tell? Yeah. And just like my friend, when she did it, it didn't make sense to her or her kids. Mm-hmm. So often the message the Lord's giving us, the message he's trying to get out, is one that doesn't make sense in the moment. And that's why we've got to start looking eternally. We've got to have perspective. We've got to keep this end game in mind that mm-hmm. I may not understand at the moment. I may not understand the urgency of it, but mm-hmm. I've got to get past all the things that keep me busy mm-hmm. and be about the things that are significant. And so that's kind of been my challenge in my own life as I'm trying to do the thousands of things that a mom does and someone who works, the things we're all doing, but also like, Lord, I'm here. I've got a whiteboard. Mm-hmm. I'm spending time with you. My palms open. Whatever the story is that you're writing on it, I want to be there. I want to be the vehicle for that.
Yeah, so good. That's a great takeaway. So unless you have a takeaway, you want to...
No, that's a great... That's going to be my takeaway.
Love it. Yes, I thought it was your takeaway. I love that homework assignment, that challenge, for sure. That is inspiring. So where can people find your book? You are a podcaster as well. It's called Mesmerized. So tell us briefly about that and where we can get your fantastic book.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you for that. Yeah, my podcast is called Mesmerized with 2 S's, like mess. And so, yeah, we interview lots of great guests and do all the usual things. And so would love for you to join me on Mesmerized. And then my book is Life is Messy, God is Good. And it is available wherever you buy books. And I'm hoping that it's a book that you will laugh hard, but there's also lots of good spiritual truth and challenges and encouragement. And I just want to be your friend. I think we talked about this at the beginning, everything got kind of serious. And I think this is an opportunity for us to laugh a little bit. And maybe even, you know, if you have friends that are walking some hard places, I hope this book would be an encouragement. So you can get it wherever you get books. And then my website and CynthiaYanoff.com, my social, Cynthia Yanoff, kind of easy to find because I have a weird last name.
Yeah, in the beginning, I was like, I'm going to ask her how to pronounce Yanoff. I'm like, Yanoff? Yes. Yanoff? Yeah.
Yanoff, yes. Y-A-N-O-F.
Just how it's spelled. Awesome. Yep. Oh, you're so full of wisdom, Cynthia. Thank you so much for coming on here. It's been so fun and so fulfilling. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's jayme.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.